Welcome to Empowering Chats with Susan Burrell. This is where we have deep, intimate conversations about self-empowerment and future existence. I am an intuitive healer and a light leader who has been called to activate other light leaders. So I'm curious, are you one of them? So by listening, lean in and see if you are ready to be that eternal potential you've been called to be. Using your bravery, your talents, your tenacity, can you be innovative and adventurous in order to activate your life and lead from that place? This is where we learn how to love ourselves from the inside out and love the whole world over and over again. Enjoy the show. So welcome to another episode of Empowering Chats, and we are in the month of May, no, June, and we're talking about being elevated. So I have a gentleman with me that we've already had a long conversation before I hit record, so hopefully we'll bring some of that back in. But he is part of a group, and I want to say collective, right, that has written a book that was channeled, and it's called Channeled Messages of Hope. And I want to welcome John Thomas. John, thanks for joining me.
Susan, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So for clarification for everybody, your wife, Carolyn, you two worked together, and she was the one that was called to work with a channel, Sam Larkin, who channels, to then bring in messages of hope for right now in all of this crazy Megillah time frame we're in, right?
Well, that's how it originated. And a little bit of that background is that Sam, the channeler, and Carolyn had been friends for a long time. Sam had skills in animal communication. And over time, Sam was receiving high vibration messages that were clearly intended for Carolyn. And so Carolyn and Sam got together, and Sam channeled. And Sam channels in a way we would call voice channeling, where the soul takes her vocal cords, and you can actually hold a conversation using Sam as the medium. And so Sam channeled this entity, soul, that was delivering the high vibration messages for Carolyn. And that is the one that we call Baba. And Carolyn, after realizing she could have that conversation, asked Sam, hey, can we possibly channel other souls in this way? Maybe souls that you would want to channel, because I have the ability to converse with them, even though you don't recall the conversation. I can ask questions for you. So they did some of that work, David Bowie and some others. And then Carolyn had what she thought was her inspiration one day to say, wow, if I can channel other souls with all the things going on in the world today, with not just climate change, but we have wars going on in multiple areas. We've got a divided country. We have many things. Maybe I could channel the appropriate souls to create messages of hope around all these things. And so in further discussing that with Baba, who we have been led to believe and firmly believe is on this group of ascended masters we call the council, Baba said, this is the council's project to do this. And the council sees Mother Earth is in a great struggle right now. And so we want the concentration to be on this particular struggle, which is around what's going on with the environment. And so that's why this particular book, book one of what will most likely be a series, is focused on what's going on with climate change.
Mm-hmm. So as you were talking, John, I mean, I'm just getting energy hits, you know, all the way top, bottom, all the way around. I'm so grateful that they are actually with us right now. I really appreciate the collective, group effort, if you will. So I was telling John before we hit record that, when I got the book and it was, the slug at, you know, what I call the slug, the after the main title, Channeled Messages of Hope, it says conversation with history's most prominent souls on the other side on global warming and climate change. And so before I even cracked the book, I was like, oh, it just felt kind of, you know, worn, kind of a worn old saw, if you will. And not that I don't agree that we are in crisis on planet Earth and that there stuff has to change. And but when I started reading the book and going through the book, there's messages for everything about gun violence and how an individual soul, when they cross over, how they deal with that and the help that's on the other side, mental instability, mental illnesses. There's a lot of these people that were that a lot of these souls, because agreed to be channeled and participate in this project because they do so much more than just help humanity to begin to comprehend and deal with how we're damaging Mother Earth. So I just really appreciate that. Plus you guys, there's so much history because you guys did your research on these souls that wanted to come through. I loved that.
Well, you know, the process was that, first of all, how did we come up with the list? How did Carolyn formulate the list? Well, she had some ideas to start with, you know, policymakers, preservationists, spiritual leaders, but we were also led by the souls to talk with other souls. And when you look at the full list that we have, policymakers, preservationists, conservationists, scientists, spiritual leaders, it really is interesting. I found it very interesting that, you know, we got a different take on things across that spectrum of the different influences. And it, to me, it was quite fascinating. But what really also came through where, you know, the topic is climate change and messages of hope, because many people like me, for instance, as a single individual, you can be in despair when you see some of these things going on with the environment.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to learn that we actually can make a difference as individuals in this area. But for people that are spiritually open, they are interested in what happens on the other side. How is work being done on the other side? How does the transition look for different people? And what can we expect? There's so much content that also came through from the souls on topics like that. So there's just much more to it.
Yeah, it was fascinating. John, and we talked about this before I hit record, some of the policymakers were politicians in a previous lifetime. And I shared with John, and some of them were ones that I would go, I'm not sure I want to hear what they have to say. But in channeling them, that what came through, because they're in an high, on the unseen side, they have re-embodied their full soul component, I guess, for lack of a better word, they have a higher perspective than when they were doing their work on planet Earth. And I appreciate now reading some of the stuff that they shared with Carolyn through Sam.
Well, it's like, for example, you know, John McCain is working with George Washington and others on preserving our democracy. That's very important to him. Whereas you might look at John Muir, who's a noted preservationist. I mean, he brought Theodore Roosevelt in when Theodore Roosevelt was president to see Yosemite, which then really created our national park system. But John Muir works on the other side on a group he calls natural beauty enthusiasts. This is a collection of souls. And so they, you know, when there's a common vibration with people in a body, there will be guiding that happens. And so they will, the souls can put out inspirations, communicate through dreams, but different souls have different interests, sometimes dependent on what they were doing when they were in a body on that particular lifetime. Like, for example, Mileva Einstein.
Yes.
We talked to Mileva because Albert asked us to talk to Mileva.
Einstein asked you to talk to his wife. Wow.
Yes, he did. And the reason he did is because she was a significant contributor to a lot of his research, especially things like the theory of relativity. But in that day, a woman's name being on a technical paper like that might not have the credibility that it would have today. So she was left off, even though she was a primary contributor. So that came through, and that's why Albert wanted us to talk to Maleva. But Maleva right now is in a body in India as a psychotherapist helping people with mental illness. And because when she was married to Albert, you know, on Earth, they had a son that had schizophrenia. So her interest is helping people with mental illness and challenges that way. And it became fascinating that we realized we could be talking to the higher soul while that there was, you know, a further life in a body happening on Earth. That was kind of, for me, that was a real blow away when that, that became apparent.
Yeah. My understanding from the conversations that I've had with people on the other side and my research is that there is a part of the soul that stays disincarnated to continue to do the work that's being done on the unseen side with the soul group that we're working with or whatever. While a part of the soul that incarnates in is still just a small piece of it, so that we incarnate on planet Earth. I'm sure we're on other planets as well, everybody, but we don't know that part yet. We incarnate on planet Earth so that we, the soul, can continue to evolve and grow and learn according to whatever lesson plan, to put it mildly, they develop before they come in. And then when the life is over, that information or that learning or that healing or that harming returns back to what I call source, returns back to the conscious collective, so that it can be integrated or processed or forgiven, right?
That, I mean, that's exactly what we see when we're talking to all the souls and putting it together. In fact, they described that when a body transitions, there is a review process of their life. And, you know, what's clear is that these lifetimes on Earth, we're here to learn and to grow. And, you know, not all lifetimes turn out to be learning and growing. Sometimes people can, you know, they can go in a bad direction on that, and then it will have to be repeated. But, you know, let's take Nixon as a prime example. Why did we want to talk to Nixon?
God, tell me. I don't know why. John, why?
Why? Why did we want to talk to Nixon? Well, Nixon, although he is well known for Watergate, and we are not Nixon apologists here, but the reality is he was far ahead of the game on certain environmental things. And his State of the Union in 1970 was really forward thinking on many environmental, you know, aspects and factors. That's why we wanted to talk. But when we asked Nixon to come in, and we were told by Stephen Schneider, who was a big advisor to presidents on technical matters when he was in a body, he said, oh, Nixon's in deep seclusion. I don't know if you're going to get him. Well, he did come through, but the very interesting thing is his first question, first of all, he didn't come through real fast, but when he came through, it sounded tentative. Mm-hmm. And when these souls come through they take over Sam's vocal cords. They will talk with the same voice inflections, accents. And Nixon kind of came through tentative. He asked, are you sure that I'm the one that you want to talk to?
Oh,
yeah, exactly. And so we explained, no, we wanted to talk to you, and it's not about all that other stuff. We want to talk to you about, you know, what you are doing related to the environment. He kind of warmed up on that, but he told us that he's in a deep review because when he was on Earth, he was, you know, he felt he had a lot more power than he did. He was highly arrogant. He didn't treat people well, and he's got to get that learning nailed down on the unseen side or the other side, as we mm-hmm. call it, we all have our name for, before he comes back in a body to further work on that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds and like somebody else we know currently in body.
Yeah, I don't know if that one will be as amenable to the review process, but time will tell. We all go through it, you know?
Yep. So. Yep. I really appreciate that you explained that. So I want to talk about John Muir's recommendations. I want to talk about St. Francis, because you also talked to St. Francis, somebody I had a profound experience with when I was in Assisi and I went to where he lived. mountainside, and there was a divot, if you will, in the side of the cave where he sat to meditate. And I just sat down, and completely opened me up, shifted me, shook stuff out. It was amazing. So, to talk about what they recommend in terms of environmental, how we, the people that are still embodied on planet Earth right now, what are steps that we can take, currently to help, awaken people if they're unaware that we're going through climate change? What are some steps?
So depending on, you know, from policymakers all to spiritual icons, you get a different take on this. And John Muir and St. Francis specifically, John Muir, he was a preservationist. He wanted to leave things exactly as they are. In fact, we recently visited his home in Martinez, California, actually, and saw where he did his many prolific writings. But one of his concepts was, you know, if you treat the environment like a church with the respect that you would treat a church, that is what, you know, our Mother Earth is looking for. Our Mother Earth is not happy right now because she feels mistreated by how man is treating her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we asked a lot of questions about how do you deal with climate deniers? People that just say, oh, it's the weather. Well, here's the thing on that is you can say in a sense it is the weather because our Earth, and Charles Keeling made this very clear in our interview, goes from ice house to greenhouse and back. There's a cycle. But that cycle is a 100,000-year cycle over time. And we can trace this. We can trace what the atmosphere composition looked like. What man has done in the industrial age in an incredibly small sliver of time in a 100,000-year cycle is we have pushed Earth far out of balance. Far out of balance. So while greenhouse gas emissions are rising, and by the way, you need some greenhouse gas in the atmosphere, right, but we've pushed it out of balance. Out of balance, the Earth can't respond fast enough. And so things like, the coral reefs blanching, okay? Seaweed and kelp, which takes care of CO2 via photosynthesis. The rainforests do the same thing. There's an ecosystem of how the Earth keeps in balance. And we've pushed things so far, so fast, that the Earth can't respond fast enough. And the Earth will do anything. I mean, look, the Earth, you know, the souls collectively made a point, like, this is a gift. This environment you're given that you can live your life here. And if we push that environment so far, so fast that it can't rebalance itself in a natural way, it becomes unlivable for us. And so that's where, you know, like John Muir also said, you know, man is very greedy. Why hunt when you don't need to hunt, for example?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, exactly.
Why have a gun when you don't need to hunt? Okay, that's a different sidebar.
So. That would be a whole nother one that we could really talk about.
You'll come back later, John. We'll have that
conversation. Okay, all right. But he is in a soul group, you know, on the unseen side, a variety of souls that are very interested in natural beauty that get together and try to connect with people in a body that have the same interest and, you know, motivate them with ideas and inspirations. And, you know, that's what they do on the other side.
So that's interesting because I did read it in a couple of the interviews where, so when we're embodied, well, I guess all the time, we have freedom of choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did read that some of the ascended masters, some of the souls that are doing work on our behalf on the unseen side are able to drop in ideas or thoughts to guide us toward a better path or toward an action item or, right? So it's not, they're not necessarily controlling our minds, right? But they are able to guide.
They aren't necessarily putting their thumb on the scale, as we say, but they are wanting to inspire people that are already moving in a particular direction to give them motivation and incentive. I mean, even look at Carolyn's case. She had this idea, just came to her, wow, if I could channel through Sam these souls around all these different topics and create messages of hope, what a great project. And then come to find out, actually, that was the council's idea for her, and the council implanted that idea in her. And what's really kind of funny is through life coaching and maybe some astrological readings many years ago, she got feedback that one day you're going to write a book. And we looked at that and said, writing a book? Well, where did that come from? This is years back. Okay. Right. And then all of a sudden, fast forward to 2024, Carolyn has written a book. I mean, with Sam as the channeler and myself helping out, but she's written a book. And, you know, I never would have forecast that, but her contract was to write this book. And her contract is to probably write more books along these lines.
Yes, I absolutely hear that. I absolutely hear that. And it's necessary. And what you just said, John, gives me hope, you know, that there's souls that are supporting us, you know, because sometimes, so my soul mission is to activate light leaders. And so when I'm working with classes or individuals, and they are on that path, you know, you often feel like you're way far out on the edge and there's nobody that gets you and nobody's supporting you. So I appreciate that the souls on the other side are investing in the individual that's on the ground, right? Doing the actual work currently by inspiration and inspiration that, one definition of inspiration is the breath of God, right? So they're breathing those ideas in so we can all benefit and be encouraged on that leading edge of shift that we're currently doing and experiencing.
And Carolyn did experience that. And I'll tell you that when it was clear in channeling this Baba, who's an ascended master, is on the council, I mean, I can tell you that it really helps when you have that kind of communication to hear it directly. It can make it a lot of things make sense in a hurry.
I can well imagine.
Yeah. You know, on the other side, not everything is control. And so it, as in every project, you know, there's challenges, there's bumps in the roads and things like that. And so, you know, one point of view would be, hey, council, you asked us to do this project. Can you clear out that obstacle? But they don't necessarily do that. They give you the inspiration to do that, but you know, you have to navigate on your own on this earthly plane, and they are supported, and you know that you're loved, but you know, you're going to encounter things and challenges. That's why we're here on this earth. We're here to learn and to grow.
So those roadblocks that we might run into head first can be managed and climbed over or gotten through, as long as, at least for me, as long as I know that I'm on track with my soul mission, then whatever shows up that wants to say, no, you can't do that, you know, it becomes a minor thing than a big thing. You know, when I was younger, there were so many roadblocks. I was like, I think I'm just tired. Let's just ascend and eat bonbons, you know?
Well, I mean, an example is, you know, as a fellow author, just getting an agent, especially when you're at the beginning, you don't just write one letter and poof, that the agent shows up. No, it was a big effort with incredible outreach. But then luckily Lisa Hagen of Lisa Hagen Books joined it. She was perfect for us. And then through Lisa, we were introduced to Sarah, who has a great network like yourself. And you know, you see the team starting to form and there's great satisfaction in that. Maybe it's because, you know, look at all the work it took to get there, and we finally got there. And I know that the council was supporting that, And maybe the council already knew the right people are out there for you, but you got to go find them.
Right. And exactly. Well,
we did.
That's why we're on the ground, right? We got to do the legwork because they're not on the ground.
I know. So many times I would like them to do that legwork for us, but I know it just doesn't work that way.
No.
You got to do the work.
No. So again, John, can you give me like three practical steps an individual could take in terms of climate change? You know, I saw John McCain would say, write your congressman and write your senator and or something like that. I'm like, I really don't know that works right now.
I know that feels a little bit like, oh, God, just be one. But, you know, there's much more practical things. I mean, St. Francis really brought it all home for me in the point that we're all one. We're all connected. And Jacques Cousteau said this too. Oceans, land, plants, animals, people, they're all soul beings. They're all vibrational beings. And we should revere all of these. It's not man up here and everything else to serve us. We're all connected and we're all one. So, you know, what can humans do? Just take what you need and no more. I mean, the example I've thought about is, you know, what if for a month, Susan, everybody said on this earth, said, I will not litter. I'm committed. And if I see a piece of litter, I'll pick it up. Can you imagine the shift of what would happen on this earth? So if people can simply revere and thank Mother Earth and have a thought process like this, like Wayne Dyer would teach us to think like this and know that that does make a difference and to be responsible, only take what we need. Look at how the animals operate. That's how the animals operate. They stay in the moment. There is a food chain, but they take what they need. They don't really waste per se, and they don't create, you know, wreckage in their path intentionally the way man does. And so Mother Earth notices this.
Right.
And that's why Mother Earth is not happy right now. And it's why I'm so happy that people like, you know, Senator Gaylord Nelson started Earth Day. You know,
because we're recording.
Right.
It just happened, Earth Day, which is a profound thing.
Right. Which is what that is all about, is bringing awareness. And awareness is the first step. Mm-hmm. And if everybody started thinking more of, we're all connected, and to revere nature in all its forms as equal of man, that in itself would be a really big shift. And, you know, my hope is that as the younger generations come up, and one message of hope we really did get is that the younger generation sees what's going on with the environment and many of the technical initiatives to address clean energy, such as nuclear fusion, which is the clean version of nuclear. There's many efforts going on, and you know, the younger generation is working these actively, so that there was a collective optimism among the souls that the earth, you know, it will be improving. And that is a message of hope. Now, as Samuel Clemens said, and why do we talk to Samuel Clemens, aka Mark Twain? Because Nikola Tesla asked us to.
I did not realize they knew each other, and I thought that was so cool.
I'll tell you what, when Nikola Tesla said, oh, I want you to talk to Sam Clemens, I'm like scratching my head, Sam Clemens, why would you? And then Carolyn would do extensive research on each soul before the interview. They weren't all a standard interview structure, as you can tell when you read the book.
Yes.
And, you know, Samuel Clemens, he was a very prolific investor in technology, so he got close to Tesla. They spent a lot of time together. And, well, you know, that we had no idea until we pieced all that together. But, you know, Samuel Clemens said, look, I really think that the world's going to be a better place over the next 20 years. But y'all don't need to get lazy. What's the point?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And,
like
and
my grandmother used to say, bless his little heart. Bless his little soul. Our soul now, I guess.
Well, you know, it's interesting on our website, channeledmessagesofhope.com, there are audio excerpts from a number of the interviews.
Ooh.
And you can hear the way that the soul came through in the accent of that particular life in a body. It's really something when you hear some of these excerpts. So they're out there for people to.
How fabulous.
Yeah.
So John, the thing that I want to read what Gandhi said, because I think it's in humanity being able to, make changes or shifts, like in climate change, there is this factor, and you mentioned it briefly, but he, in the book, when Carolyn was talking to Gandhi, he said, the state of the planet is a reflection of how we are treating each other. You guys, I want everybody who's listening to really take this in, and digest it and embody it. The state of the planet is a reflection of how we are treating each other. The state of the planet is not in accordance with peace at this time, because the people are not in accordance with peace at this time. And he goes on to say, the lesson is that we must look at our reflection in the mirror, and we must see that we are doing this to ourselves. The planet is reflecting what we are doing, because we are not treating each other with equality and kindness, and we are not living in peace, and the planet is reflecting this. That's profound to me. I'm so grateful that you guys have talked to all of these different souls and gotten their unique take on things, and then the affirmation that all will be well as long as we humans listen to our divine guidance, our intuition, which is the soul groups on the other side, you know, inspiring us to follow a higher path, to interact with each other on a more conscious, aware, and kind and loving manner, and that includes the planet.
Well, it really does. And Wayne Dyer also made similar point, that the collective guilt of man for abusing Mother Earth is resulting in man almost expecting punishment, which is really kind of that's an eye opener right there. And
yeah,
the punishment is the consequence of what the Earth is giving back to us, which is, you know, an environment that, because it's so far out of balance and the Earth doesn't have the ability to recover the balance as fast as we need to, it's creating something that could spiral to an unlivable state if we let it go. If we let it go the way we are now, that would be the end result.
Right.
Yeah. So that's not happening, because people are getting in front of that.
Yes.
Souls tell us. But.
So, and that's what I want to say too, in terms of messages, a message of hope, is that I want to encourage everybody, as you are guided to, be proactive in how you, like John was saying, just take what you need, do what you need, you know, don't hoard all the toilet paper, everybody. Don't do that ever again. Don't.
Right.
But if, as we are inspired to care for our small piece of the earth, please do it from a sense and a grounded state of love and kindness. Don't do it out of fear that you're afraid that, there was that volcano in Iceland that erupted, you know, and that, while it looks spectacular because I'm in California, don't run around trying to save the world like Chicken Little because you think it's going to be bad and you're going to be punished. Do it from a grounded state of kindness and love, like John Muir did.
Like John and Wayne Dyer had a very simple thing. This is a lot about our attitude, Susan. Go from what I can take to how can I serve?
Can I serve? Oh.
And, you know, back to our guy, Sam Clemens, he said, you know, they used to say buy land because they're not making any more land, but he turned that around to preserve land because they're not making any more land.
That's right.
It's a shift of attitude, consciousness, and awareness. If people will do that, that would be huge in terms of what an individual can do. this is the what the spiritual leaders really made a point about that. You know, just be respectful. Treat this environment like a church, like John Muir says.
Exactly. And, you know, John, who can't go to the Redwoods, okay, or whatever amazing, the sequoias, whatever amazing tree is in your state, and stand next to it and not feel profound respect, you know, and the energy that these ancient forests are providing us. It's not just air and all that. So, you know, again, yeah, just use what you need and preserve the land. It's really important.
And respect those that are on that land. Trees have just as much a right to be on that land as we do. Let's coexist. They coexist very well with us.
Exactly.
And, you know, even where we live here in California, we have two redwoods in our backyard, and it's not a small backyard. But in the course of the interviews for this book, we had some storms here, and we were worried about one of the redwoods. Is it coming over too far? But we're like, we are not going to cut that redwood out. We actually asked John Muir about our redwood specifically and what to do, and he gave us direct arborist level advice. And when we got the arborist out and we did the necessary corrections to bolster the strength of those trees so that they could live and coexist, and I felt good about that. You know, there's no way I'm going to cut those trees out. I'm just not going to do it. You know, we're going to find a way. Now,
where I live in Ventura, there's lots of developers have come in, and so they're taking beautiful fields that people may look and go, oh, there's a bunch of weeds, but it's an open space, and they're putting condos and condos and condos and condos. And I'm telling you, there are so many condos, there's not enough people to move in. Do you know? Those things are going to be empty, and they're just taking all the open space because they see it as an opportunity to develop something, to take something, to make money off of, instead of respecting the open space and allowing it to be.
Yeah. And that, Susan, would be another hour-long show talking about land use in California, specifically on stuff like that, because we see the same thing in our communities. But I'll tell you, you know, when I see open space like that, I have a much greater appreciation for what that really means after going through the experience of working on this book with Carolyn and Sam. So
it's huge. It's so important to, yeah, it's just so important. So John, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing just a small piece of what is in your book. And you guys, it's Channeled Messages of Hope. And this one, because I know there's going to be many, is Conversations with History's Most Prominent Souls on the Other Side on Global Warming and Climate Change. And I'm telling you guys, there is so much more in the book besides global warming and climate change. It is definitely worth exploring. And the website, John, is?
www.channeledmessagesofhope.com, all one word. And there's audio excerpts on there. You can find out a lot about the book. If you'd like to buy the book, you can click it right to the Amazon site. And,
awesome.
You know, what we're trying to do, Susan, is for those that are spiritually open, have concerns about the environment, wonder what they can do, but also are curious about what happens on the unseen side. What happens in transition? What are these souls working on? There's lots of rich information in this book on that. It was really fascinating learning some of these things. And I will also just say that these souls, very prominent when they were in a body in these lifetimes, were so happy to be part of this project, so appreciative to be part of this project that the council basically gave to Carolyn to execute. And it was, at times it might be somewhat intimidating to talk to some of these souls, but they came in. It's like having a conversation with a complete absence of ego. And just,
oh my God, isn't that wonderful?
It really is. It really is. And so that's what I took away from it. And I'm very appreciative of all the souls, and they had a lot to say. And for those people in the demographic I described, you know, we're just trying to find you and make this available for you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness. So thank you so much. Please give my gratitude to Carolyn and Sam for being willing to be the vehicle of these messages of hope, especially during this, I got so many descriptors, John. I'm just going to say these times we're in. I'm not going to add any other.
I understand. I'm with you.
Right?
Yes.
But yeah, so thank you so much. And thanks for joining me today. I really, really, really appreciate what you guys are doing. And I can't wait for the next book.
Oh, Carolyn's working on that now. It'll be about overcoming challenges, courageous actions. It's going to be quite interesting. I think she's already working on it now. And by the way, the council was with us in this interview too. I know you felt it. I could see that. So, you know, it makes it, having the kind of support that we have spiritually to do these things, it's really special.
Yeah. And everybody, I want you to know that you are supported as well. You know, there are spirit guides or councils or angels or elementals that are supporting each and every one of us at this time. So it's really important to drop into your heart and align with your intuitive guidance so that you can be supported, to allow these individuals to support, because they really are these funnels of love and inspiration. So yeah.
And what we learned is that, for instance, Wayne Dyer, St. Francis, they are guides for me, as is Theodore Roosevelt, his higher self. And if you have a common vibration, your higher self soul will find guides for you. But what we were also told is you can ask if there's a particular soul from that lifetime, like a St. Francis, that you would like, you know, St. Francis to be my guide. If you open your heart to that, you're not going to get refused on that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the message we got very strongly.
Yes, because once you cross over, it is all about service.
It is.
Serving the higher collective consciousness, which means serving humanity.
And all we have to do is be open and aware and receptive and not resistant, and amazing things can happen.
Yep. And everybody, in case you want to meet your spirit guides, I have a guided meditation that you can access through my website or go to Insight Timer where it's housed, and you can do that meditation and begin to really get to know the guides that have said yes to you already. So, John, thank you again. Until next time, I'm just going to end with, and so it is, namaste. Well, that wraps up our empowering chat for the day. I hope you enjoyed it and found it inspired you to be more empowered. If you want to find out more about me, go to susanburrell.com, my website, and you can see what we're up to. I am teaching classes again, so there's a calendar of that, and you can register. You can check out my book, Live an Empowered Life, A 30-Day Journey with the Companion Inspiration Cards. Or you can access my guided meditations that go through Insight Timer. We got a bunch of stuff on the website. Check it out. And until then, namaste.